At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening from now until 10 o'clock. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight. We've got, as we always do, lots of things to dive into this evening, whether it's law, politics, culture, space. We're going to cover it all tonight here on Camo X. And I'm glad you're with us. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And I'm going to bring in Matt Pajeski here. Today is National Chocolate Cupcake Day. Again, why? I don't know who decides these, but it really made me think, Matt, before we dive into weightier issues this evening. Sorry, that was not a really a good pun. Mm. But what's your favorite dessert? Are you a sweets guy?
Not really. No. I usually load up on the meal where I don't even have room for dessert. But if I have to pick a dessert, you can't go wrong with just scoop of chocolate ice cream.
Yep, that's good.
Yeah, I like chocolate in anything. Chocolate brownies, chocolate pie.
So Chocolate Cupcake Day would ring true with Matt Pajeski.
That's right up my alley.
That's good. Yeah, I'm like you. My wife, sometimes when we're at a meal, she'll say, now, Brad, don't forget there's going to be dessert. I'm like, oh yeah. Because, yeah, I'd rather have an extra helping of potatoes or something.
Me too.
Or extra helping of meat or something. But, you can have the dessert. I don't care. But I'll tell you what. If you ever had key lime pie?
Oh yeah, that's good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, real good.
That's probably my favorite dessert is key lime pie. But I got to tell you, I was at a restaurant once. I won't name the name because it's here in the St. Louis area. And as we looked at dessert, my wife knows I'm a sucker for key lime pie, and I want to see if you know what this is. So on the menu, they had something called deconstructed key lime pie. Now, any idea what that would be like?
Is it like an open face pie, like where all the ingredients are just kind of out? It's been deconstructed. It's like mushy pie or something like that. I don't know.
It was like one of Elon Musk's missiles, the rockets that goes up, and then it has an unscheduled rapid disassembly.
Yeah.
I think is the Elon Musk term for something blowing up. It's no.
Is that what the pie was?
It didn't blow up. It was a rapid, unscheduled disassembly, and that's what this key lime pie was. It was deconstructed. So what happened was they brought this thing out, And it was like they took an ice cream scoop full of the key lime goop and they made a ball out of it like a giant meatball. And then they stuck a little whipped cream on one side and then put a graham cracker and poked it in to the key lime goop.
Interesting.
It was disgusting is what it was.
It tasted disgusting too?
It did.
Oh, I was going to say, it can look bad, whatever. As long as it tastes good, that's fine. I can look past that. But if it tasted bad too, then
it was bad. It was bad. And so I said, listen, I never send stuff back, but I said this should be banned by the Geneva Convention. Yeah. I mean, this is cruel and unusual punishment. We got to send it back. So I didn't want that. But speaking of desserts, I took a picture. I was in a restaurant that I won't mention. I just showed the picture to Matt. And I won't mention the name of the restaurant, but it's a place that you have been. And it's a place I don't go to very often. And I was in there this week, and there's this giant sign, and I'm showing it to Matt. Of course, you can't show things on radio. But it's a sign that said, food allergy, ? And this is what it says. The peanut butter chocolatey crunch pieces used in the peanut butter crunch McFlurry contains peanuts. Now, keep in mind, it's called the peanut butter chocolatey crunch, and it's called the, and those are the pieces. The dessert is called the peanut butter crunch McFlurry, but they had to give a disclaimer that says, warning, the peanut butter crunch McFlurry contains peanuts.
Doesn't that disclaimer exist because somebody with a peanut allergy ordered the peanut McFlurry and had a reaction to it? Like those signs exist because idiots don't know what they're doing and they order the peanut McFlurry with a peanut allergy and then want to sue whoever.
Matt, you have been listening to me for a very long time, and you're correct. Every disclaimer that you've ever seen exists because somebody filed a lawsuit over that. So I wish I could have defended the lawsuit where a plaintiff sued and said, I'm sorry, I have a peanut allergy, and I'm going to sue you because your peanut butter crunch McFlurry contains peanuts, and I had an allergic reaction.
Brett, I have a peanut allergy myself.
Yep.
And you don't need to have a sign for me. I am a hypochondriac about ordering something that
exactly.
may have nuts. I stay away from most desserts because I don't know and I
don't
risk it. So you don't need a sign for me.
Yeah.
I'm playing it safe. I'm asking every employee, hey, does this have nuts in it or
yep.
traces or whatever?
Yep.
I'm extra safe.
Yeah. So keep in mind, I want to make sure I'm perfectly clear here. I'm not mocking people with a peanut allergy. What I'm saying is that someone who had a peanut allergy ordered a peanut butter crunch McFlurry and then had a reaction.
Yeah.
And folks, that's why we have lawyers in this country. Oh, well, any discussion of dessert, I had to throw that in because I literally saw that this week. So I thought, oh, I got to take a picture of that. That is radio gold. Hey, speaking of radio gold, I'm always interested, always fascinated by stuff in space. And this week we had a monumental achievement. First time in human history that we've actually gone out, grabbed a part of an asteroid, and brought it back to study it. Because if an asteroid, if it lands on the Earth, it's already gone through the atmosphere, it's burned up, you don't know how much is charred, how much has been cooked away. So it's altered. It's adulterated. And so but to go out and grab it in space and bring it home is a feat that is truly amazing. So coming up after the break, we're going to talk to a friend of the show, Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. He's an astrophysicist, and he's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about a program that he's planning to perhaps visit one of the moons of Jupiter. All kinds of things right here on At Your Service. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Space, the final frontier.
Thank you, producer extraordinaire Matt Pajeski. Hey, welcome back to KMOX. And yes, we're going to be talking about space this evening. And we want to welcome to the show, actually a friend of the show, Dr. Ryan Ogliori, an astrophysicist at Washington University. Dr. Ogliori, it's great to talk to you again, and welcome back to KMOX.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Sure. It's really my pleasure. And I wanted to talk to you. In fact, I've been wanting to talk to you for a couple of weeks now, because as I've been reading about this OSIRIS-REx mission involving an asteroid, I wanted to get your take on it, because listen, you're the greatest space expert that I know. So give us kind of an overview as to, you know, from a layman's perspective, what was this mission and why has it been in the news just this past week?
Yeah, this is a great mission, and I'm on the mission team, so this really is in my wheelhouse here, this particular thing. So this was a NASA mission that was launched in 2016, and the goal was to go to an asteroid and gently sample it and bring about half a pound of asteroid dust back to the Earth, where we can analyze it in labs like my lab here at WashU and labs all over the world, to understand the primitive building blocks of the solar system, the organics that may have seeded life here on Earth, and as well as the water that may have helped life flourish on Earth. So this has been a goal for NASA for a long time. It's technically very, very challenging. And lots of things can go wrong in space. And when something goes wrong in space, it just fails. And luckily, lots of things a little bit went wrong with this mission, but it was a stunning success in the end.
Yeah, I remember when, I believe this was years ago, there was a mission to Mars, and someone, apparently there was a discrepancy between using inches and feet and centimeters and meters, and and there was a spacecraft that crashed on the planet. And so, yeah. things can go wrong, but it's amazing when things go right. So just walk us through, because we hear this, Dr. Ogliori, and we say, okay, great, we brought back a piece to the asteroid. Oh, that's cool. But the logistics of finding the asteroid, of landing on an asteroid, of taking off, walk us through that. I mean, how that could be accomplished, because it's not like there's some guy in the basement with an Xbox joystick that's making this thing work. Talk to us about how this happened.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's one of the most exciting things. So they had to find an asteroid. This is a near-Earth asteroid that they could get to relatively easily. But then the sampling part of it is the real exciting and dangerous part. So we thought the asteroid, it's likely similar to meteorites we have on Earth. We know what the material properties of those, how strong they are. And we thought, you know, you could land on this. It would be like sand, being like landing on a sandy beach. We'll blow some gas into the sand and we'll collect it and we'll fire the rockets and go back up. But that's not what it was at all. The material properties of the asteroid was like a ball pit, where your kids can sink to the bottom of the ball pit. So the spacecraft went down to collect the sample, and it just kept going. It kept falling into the asteroid like it was quicksand.
Wow.
And it was almost lost. They fired the rockets and got it back, but you know, they didn't really admit to this till later, how dangerous that was and how close they were losing the whole mission. It was very interesting, and this is the unknown, and this is what I like about space exploration, is that we thought we knew it was good, what was happening with the asteroid surface, but we have no idea. We absolutely have no idea until we actually go there.
And as I was talking about this topic with a friend of mine the other day, and obviously this friend of mine is nowhere near as geeky as I am, but because I'm excited to talk about this, and yeah, they weren't all that interested. But my point is that as I was bringing this up, this person said to me, well, why, I don't understand why this is such a big deal, because we can just go out and find meteorites anywhere. I mean, they're all over the place. And I wanted to correct him about how different it is when you collect a meteorite on Earth after it's gone through the atmosphere, or pieces of an asteroid in its natural state. Walk us through how that makes such a big difference.
Yeah, meteorites are fantastic. I think they're the most spectacular record of nature known to science. They're unbelievably amazing. I love meteorites. But meteorites are a biased record of our solar system, so we're only selecting material that has that strength to survive landing on Earth. So we're already getting rid of the less consolidated, the more porous, and that's the more primitive stuff that I'm especially interested in. So that stuff just burns up, makes night shooting stars, but doesn't make it to the ground. And so immediately we're not getting the most interesting stuff here on Earth. And like I said, that the material properties of this asteroid were far weaker than we thought. And also when it comes to Earth, like, we are getting really good at finding things right away, but right when that sample gets to Earth, it doesn't want to be on Earth. It did not form on Earth, and so it starts to rust. Organics, you know, little microorganisms start to colonize it. Minerals change immediately, and so right even hours later. So we got this pristine sample that we're very, very careful of keeping pristine, and now we have that pristine space stuff that isn't contaminated by the Earth environment.
We're talking to Dr. Ryan Ogliori. He's an astrophysicist right here at Washington University in St. Louis. And doctor, I know that there was some samples. I've seen the video of what these samples look like. Briefly tell us what is the preliminary results of the just examining this. Well, what is this made of?
It's dark. It's really, really dark dust. So looking at it optically, it would look like, it almost looked like charcoal dust.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have a lot of carbon. It doesn't have as much carbon as a charcoal briquette. It's got about 5% carbon, which is a lot of carbon for an asteroid. It's very wet, meaning you don't touch it, it wouldn't feel wet, but it has a lot of clay minerals in it. It seems to be about 90% clay minerals. And we're doing, you know, some of my colleagues are doing the preliminary analyses right now, and I'll get some samples in the coming weeks. So we're going to look for that interstellar signature that we hope is still intact, despite this kind of action of water on the asteroid. And we're looking also at the timing of the formation of the dry minerals in this asteroid.
And this is something that's going to be studied for quite some time, isn't it?
Yeah, this is, that's why I say sample return is the gift that keeps on giving. So we still, like, literally in my lab right now, we're studying the samples brought back from the moon 50 years ago. So we can analyze those with techniques that they could not have dreamed of in the 1960s when we first thought of going there. So we keep these samples very pristine in, at Johnson Space Center in Houston. We keep those pure, and so we can analyze them for generations to come. So it's like continually discovering things with a space mission that lasts for generations. It's really great.
Yeah, a gift that keeps on giving. We're talking to Dr. Ryan Ogliori, and Doctor, I noticed, and this I thought was interesting, you had an article that came out at the end of September in Slate Magazine talking about one of the moons of Jupiter called Io. Tell us about that article and what prompted you to write it.
Yeah, so this is a mission concept that I'm leading with the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California, and they, you know, built the Mars rovers. They do all the super cool stuff. So what we were thinking about is kind of the next generation of this sample return idea. So OSIRIS-REx went to this near-Earth asteroid that basically has the same orbit of the Earth, partially because that's easy, and our next step is to go way beyond Earth and return something truly exotic. And Jupiter's moon Io is this amazing place, so a lot of the other planets and asteroids in the solar system besides Earth look kind of dead, like they were very active billions of years ago. The exception is Io, because it's being pulled by Jupiter and is a volcanic world like Darth Vader's home world in Star Wars. It's just endless volcanoes. It's one of the most, it's the most exciting place in the solar system. So our idea is to, one of these, several of these volcanoes have plumes that are erupting hundreds of miles into space. So we would fly our spacecraft through this volcanic plume, collect some of the dust and gas that's being erupted from the plume, and bring it back to Earth just like OSIRIS-REx did, the same capsule built by Lockheed Martin, all that stuff, and do the same thing, but return samples from an exotic place very, very far away.
Wow. So to me, I was fascinated because if you think about, if the layman thinks about where Jupiter is, it's exponentially further from the sun than the Earth. So it's obviously cold. The moons would seemingly be cold. And yet we have volcanic eruptions that send up plumes upwards of 100 miles high due to volcanic action. What causes that volcanic action on Io?
It's amazing. Once you start reading about Io, you can't stop. And so the thing that's causing that are tides. So just like we have ocean tides here on Earth, Io has tides of rock. And that's because of, it's so close to the massive, massive planet Jupiter that it's pulling on the mountains of Io. The mountain heights are increasing by about 300 feet every day and a half. So you can watch mountains grow and shrink by 300
wow.
feet over a day. It's unbelievable. And it's that tidal heating that is liquefying the rock and creating magma and erupting these volcanoes on Io constantly.
Oh, that is amazing. So lastly, I want to make sure that we get to this point. There's a possibility, when you talked about this plan that NASA may have, is there a possibility that if that plan to send a spacecraft to Io comes to fruition, would that be based right here in St. Louis?
Yeah, that's the idea. So I'm the principal investigator, and these missions are run by the PI. The PI of OSIRIS-REx was educated here at WashU, and now he's at University of Arizona. So this would be a WashU led mission, and it would be very exciting for the university and the students in the area. It creates a lot of opportunity for education and technology development here in the St. Louis area. So that's another reason I'm excited about it.
That is definitely exciting. Last question. We're talking to Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. When do you anticipate NASA making that decision about whether to proceed with that particular mission?
So this is what's called a New Frontiers class mission, and those will be competed in a couple years. They haven't been real firm about the date yet, so we're continuing to solve all these amazing, difficult engineering problems until then. And I was kind of thankful that we have this time because we're solving very hard and new problems, and I need some more time to figure things out. So probably in a couple of years, the competition will start.
Very good. And by the way, I will tell you, it's not one of my favorite movies, but I did see the movie Outlander, where Sean Connery goes to Io. And I was just trying to imagine, you know, if Sean Connery went to Io and he looked at the plates of tidally impacted rock. I mean, he could look at that, wonder about how it was done, and reach the conclusion of it's shaken, not stirred. Okay, that's there was a big lead up for a very bad Sean Connery impression.
That's good. I like that.
Okay. Doctor, we're going to continue to follow the stuff that you're doing at WashU. It's exciting. It's literally on the frontiers of science and exploring the frontiers of space. And thank you for sharing your expertise with us here on Camo X.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Great. We will talk to you again soon. Thank you to Dr. Ryan Ogliori. Hey, when we come back, we've got lots of things in the news this week. And for the rest of the show, phone lines are open because there are issues that affect you that you may not hear being reported on a daily basis. 314-436-7900. Call or text right here on the Voice of St. Louis, Camo X. You know what's under pressure today? Politics, democracy, civil rights, freedom of speech. All of those things are under pressure today. And in fact, that perfectly leads me into the next topic, because I want to briefly mention about Jim Jordan. I don't spend a lot of time talking about political entities or political personalities, because I like to talk more about the ideas behind them. The concepts, why things matter, not just who did what and why. But to me, this folds into this idea, this segment that we're going to talk about, which is, does democracy work? Is democracy still a valid form of governance? Because when you look right now at the House of Representatives, you can make a plausible argument that since the Republicans have taken control of the House, democracy hasn't worked very well, because the way Kevin McCarthy had to get elected, the concessions that he had to make to become the Speaker of the House were such that basically any single member of Congress could oust him as the Speaker of the House, and that's exactly what happened. And so now, because of the margins, because of the extreme positions of so many people, not just Republicans, but Democrats as well, when you put all that together, democracy doesn't seem to be working well. So Jim Jordan, he had a second vote today to be Speaker of the House, did not work. In fact, he lost ground from the first vote. And it looks like the third vote will occur tomorrow. And, you know, nobody knows, but at least the analysts that I follow suggest that Jim Jordan is probably going to lose more support between now and tomorrow. And if that happens, the question becomes, who can be Speaker of the House? And it absolutely impacts our democracy. We have a literal war right now in Israel, and our Congress cannot even vote on what is the name of the day that follows Wednesday? Okay, they can't even vote on that in the absence of a speaker. One of the ideas that's being floated, and I thought it was funny, because right now we have something called the speaker pro tempore, which is just a Latin word for saying temporary speaker. Okay, that's all it is. But this guy who is named Patrick McHenry, he's a Republican, but he's just really has zero power. He can do nothing. He's just has that as a title until that slot can be filled. So there's a plan in Washington right now that would involve both Republicans and Democrats that would give the speaker pro tempore more power, at least to do some things, until the Republicans can actually elect a Speaker of the House. I guess my question is, How does that make you feel when you look at this idea of democracy, that we can't even do any business? Now, one of the things, and I'm going to quote myself here just to show I'm not necessarily being two-sided on this. I've said many times in the past that I'm, to some extent, in favor of gridlock government. Gridlock government is, by definition, when one party controls the House and one party controls the Senate. And I've been in favor of that position in times past because a gridlocked government is one that can't hurt us. A gridlocked government is one that can't enact stupid policies, that can't pass Obamacare, that can't do silly things because they're blocked because of the struggle of power. But this isn't that situation, because even in a situation where you have gridlock government, the government can still act to fulfill the necessary functions of government, pay for defense, fund Social Security, provide for government employees, build interstate highways. You know, even a gridlock government can do those things. But when you've got a government that has no Speaker of the House, at this point, we can't do anything. And so to me, that's taking it a little too far. And the context of this question, the reason why I wanted to raise that as a topic point, is because a poll came out today that said 31% of Trump supporters said that America should explore alternative forms of government aside from democracy to ensure stability and progress. 31% of Trump supporters said that, according to this nationwide poll. It's a reputable polling company. And in the same poll, 24% of Biden supporters had the same opinion, that democracy doesn't work. Now, to me, I see this ostensibly from organizations like Black Lives Matter, organizations that are typically socialist, Marxist-based. I would expect that from someone like Cori Bush. I would expect that idea from someone Representative Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, who just this week texted out a picture saying, look at the atrocities being committed by the Israelis against the Palestinians. Unfortunately, the picture was 10 years old. So, oops, we hate it when that happens. Darn it. Why couldn't I be more contemporary? So just a little 10 years late there, Representative Omar. But I find it ironic in that sense, because she's the one who is desperately supporting a government agency that would fight disinformation, that would fight information that's being incorrectly disseminated. And yet she is tweeting out 10-year-old pictures asserting that this shows contemporaneous Israeli hate crimes against the Palestinians. So it's, I think the term is ironic. But people of her side, it's been always been easy for me to see, don't support a democracy type of government, because that leftist philosophy says the few intelligentsia are far smarter, far superior than the rest of the populace. And so they should be the ones, typically in academia, who should be.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You know what's under pressure today? Politics, democracy, civil rights, freedom of speech. All of those things are under pressure today. And in fact, that perfectly leads me into the next topic, because I want to briefly mention about Jim Jordan. I don't spend a lot of time talking about political entities or political personalities, because I like to talk more about the ideas behind them, the concepts, why things matter, not just who did what and why. But to me, this folds into this idea, this segment that we're going to talk about, which is, does democracy work? Is democracy still a valid form of governance? Because when you look right now at the House of Representatives, you can make a plausible argument that since the Republicans have taken control of the House, democracy hasn't worked very well, because the way Kevin McCarthy had to get elected, the concessions that he had to make to become the Speaker of the House were such that basically any single member of Congress could oust him as the Speaker of the House, and that's exactly what happened. And so now, because of the margins, because of the extreme positions of so many people, not just Republicans, but Democrats as well, when you put all that together, democracy doesn't seem to be working well. So Jim Jordan, he had a second vote today to be Speaker of the House, did not work. In fact, he lost ground from the first vote. And it looks like the third vote will occur tomorrow. And, you know, nobody knows, but at least the analysts that I follow suggest that Jim Jordan is probably going to lose more support between now and tomorrow. And if that happens, the question becomes, who can be Speaker of the House? And it absolutely impacts our democracy. We have a literal war right now in Israel, and our Congress cannot even vote on what is the name of the day that follows Wednesday. Okay, they can't even vote on that in the absence of a speaker. One of the ideas that's being floated, and I thought it was funny, because right now we have something called the speaker pro tempore, which is just a Latin word for saying temporary speaker. Okay, that's all it is. But this guy who is named Patrick McHenry, he's a Republican, but he's just really has zero power. He can do nothing. He's just has that as a title until that slot can be filled. So there's a plan in Washington right now that would involve both Republicans and Democrats that would give the Speaker pro tempore more power, at least to do some things, until the Republicans can actually elect a Speaker of the House. I guess my question is, how does that make you feel when you look at this idea of democracy, that we can't even do any business? Now, one of the things, and I'm going to quote myself here just to show I'm not necessarily being two-sided on this. I've said many times in the past that I'm to some extent in favor of gridlock government. Gridlock government is by definition when one party controls the House and one party controls the Senate. And I've been in favor of that position in times past because a gridlocked government is one that can't hurt us. A gridlocked government is one that can't enact stupid policies, that can't pass Obamacare, that can't do silly things because they're blocked because of the struggle of power. But this isn't that situation, because even in a situation where you have gridlocked government, the government can still act to fulfill the necessary functions of government, pay for defense, fund Social Security, provide for government employees, build interstate highways. You know, even a gridlock government can do those things. But when you've got a government that has no Speaker of the House, at this point, we can't do anything. And so to me, that's taking it a little too far. And the context of this question, the reason why I wanted to raise that as a topic point, is because a poll came out today that said 31% of Trump supporters said that America should explore alternative forms of government aside from democracy to ensure stability and progress. 31% of Trump supporters said that, according to this nationwide poll. It's a reputable polling company. And in the same poll, 24% of Biden supporters had the same opinion, that democracy doesn't work. Now, to me, I see this ostensibly from organizations like Black Lives Matter, organizations that are typically socialist, Marxist-based. I would expect that from someone like Cori Bush. I would expect that idea from someone Representative Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, who just this week texted out a picture saying, look at the atrocities being committed by the Israelis against the Palestinians. Unfortunately, the picture was 10 years old. So, oops, we hate it when that happens. Darn it. Why couldn't I be more contemporary? So just a little 10 years late there, Representative Omar. But I find it ironic in that sense, because she's the one who is desperately supporting a government agency that would fight disinformation, that would fight information that's being incorrectly disseminated. And yet she is tweeting out 10-year-old pictures asserting that this shows contemporaneous Israeli hate crimes against the Palestinians. So it's, I think the term is ironic. But people of her side, it's always been easy for me to see, don't support a democracy type of government, because that leftist philosophy says the few intelligentsia are far smarter, far superior than the rest of the populace. And so they should be the ones, typically in academia, who should be leading our country, and the rest of us should just be quiet and allow them to run our lives. To me, that's something I've noticed my entire life. But 31% of Trump supporters said that America should explore alternative forms of government aside from democracy to ensure stability and progress. And I just, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, what might that be? Because from the left standpoint, I can understand that mentality, that the education class, that the academic class is far smarter and far more brilliant. But what is it when it comes from 31% of Trump supporters? Is it the idea that they long for a dictatorship where they long for one person to make these types of decisions. I just don't know where that philosophy, or maybe that statistic is completely wrong. But if you're in that category, if you're either one of the 31% of the Trump supporters or in the 24% of Biden supporters who just thinks that democracy isn't working, I'm not going to argue with you or debate you. I just want to hear from someone who thinks that's a good idea. Because from my perspective, democracy is an incredibly flawed institution. And at the same time, it's better than any other form of government that exists on the planet. Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's why we have divided government. That's why that idea that the government is divided, to me, is our strength, not our weakness. And so it's our strength because it keeps us from all of the pitfalls that have befallen other institutions of government as long as humanity has existed. But now we see that a significant percentage of both Trump supporters and Biden supporters are starting to have second thoughts about democracy. 314-436-7900. I would love to hear your perspective. Call or text right here on At Your Service. Brad Young, I'll be right back. Welcome back to At Your Service. And we're talking about really the entire idea of democracy. Is it over? Has it expired? Is it like a jug of milk whose time has come and it's time to pour it out? Or do we just not respect the idea enough? You know, a lot of times we get buyer's remorse. You buy something, you like it for a while, and then you're like, maybe I wish I wouldn't have bought this. That happens a lot of times with elected officials, right? We get buyer's remorse. But are we as a country, are we having buyer's remorse over the entire idea of democracy? And leading into this, when I first read this, I thought this was either something from The Onion or the Babylon Bee. I love both. One's from the right, one's from the left. I love them both equally because they're very funny. But this is not either. This is neither The Onion nor the Babylon Bee, because last week, the Board of Aldermen president, Megan Green, and you know, this makes me proud to be a St. Louisan when I see the head of the Board of Aldermen calling for exempting the homeless from city ordinances that prohibit public urination and defecation. You know, that just really makes me proud to be a St. Louisan. And I would say you could march in the streets in support of this proposition, but you might step in something, all right? Because if we're going to exempt the homeless from those ordinances, where's that going to lead us? Now, since she came out, others on the Board of Aldermen have come out against that proposal. But I guess first and foremost, should we be exempting the homeless from ordinances for public urination and defecation in the streets? Or is that like this? There was a concept that came out in the 70s. It was a philosophy or philosophical framework talking about crime. And it was something called the broken windows. And what broken windows is essentially this. It's a concept that's very simple in nature, that when police don't enforce broken windows, if someone's got a busted window in their home or apartment building or a condo, you got to fix it. Because if you have a collection of broken windows, it makes everything look kind of shabby. And then you start to have more car break-ins. And then you start to have more cars being stolen. And then from there, it just progresses into more and more criminal activity. It's the broken windows theory. So the idea is that you enforce the minor crimes, that you are adamant about policing the small things so that the small things don't develop into bigger things. But now if we have the Board of Aldermen president, who thinks that it's okay to urinate in the street, that people shouldn't be penalized for that, or people shouldn't be penalized for public defecation. Think about how that fits in with the broken windows idea of law enforcement. I mean, it takes it to a whole new level, right? If it's okay to do that here, then why can't I bust into this car and steal what they have? If it's okay for me to do these bodily function activities in broad daylight on the street, then why don't I just bust in the window and steal something from that store? I mean, it's the next logical step, just like the broken windows theory. And yet that's something that's not being proposed by some extremist group. This is the president of the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis. Now, thankfully, she's in the minority here. And I'm not talking about race, I'm talking about political ideology. She's in the minority on this position, and I don't think she's going to get a lot of support from, because let's face it, they're all Democrats, right? They're not going to get any support from the other Democrats that are on the Board of Aldermen. And I'm glad of that. But in addition, though, to exempting the homeless from these types of city ordinances, Board of Aldermen President Megan Green also wants to exempt the homeless from ordinances like panhandling or loitering or these other types of laws. Now, if you remember, there was a homeless encampment that was on the grounds of City Hall for weeks. And do you remember why that got moved? It wasn't out of some sense of we want to clean up the city. It wasn't out of some altruistic idea that says, you know, homeless people shouldn't be living in tents on the City Hall grounds. Let's move them into housing that's more respectable, that honors someone for being a person and doesn't punish them for being down and out financially. No, it wasn't out of any of those reasons. It was because Kamala Harris was coming to town and folks didn't want to, particularly the mayor, didn't want to be embarrassed to have a homeless encampment around City Hall. So to me, what would it mean if it was okay if Kamala Harris, if Vice President Kamala Harris is here and people are doing their business right there on the street, right in front of City Hall? Talk about ideas that would be bad for the image of the city of St. Louis. I mean, do we want that going on when there's next year when we're in the playoffs and we're competing for the World Series? Do we want that going on in downtown St. Louis? Of course we don't. Of course we don't. And so this falls into this whole idea of, is democracy really working? Now, again, my perspective is, just to make it clear, I always like to raise questions, but I want to make sure you understand, I'm coming from the perspective that democracy isn't the problem. Democracy is the solution. Because if you look at voting in the few seconds we have left here, voting in this country has never been lower. Voting participation has never been lower. So to me, the problem isn't too much democracy. It's not enough democracy. We don't vote. We don't get involved. We don't understand the issues. We're too busy at our jobs and playing Xbox or whatever it is. More democracy, to me, is the solution. It would be the solution for a lot of the ills in the city of St. Louis. Fighting crime, getting rid of homelessness, attracting businesses. Those ideas could all be improved with greater participation in democracy. We talk about big ideas here on At Your Service. And after this break, we're going to talk about some other big ideas, but especially yours. 314-436-7900 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. And we're talking about really the entire idea of democracy. Is it over? Has it expired? Is it like a jug of milk whose time has come and it's time to pour it out? Or do we just not respect the idea enough? You know, a lot of times we get buyer's remorse. You buy something, you like it for a while, and then you're like, maybe I wish I wouldn't have bought this. That happens a lot of times with elected officials, right? We get buyer's remorse. But are we as a country, are we having buyer's remorse over the entire idea of democracy? And leading into this, when I first read this, I thought this was either something from The Onion or The Babylon Bee. I love both. One's from the right, one's from the left. I love them both equally because they're very funny. But this is not either. This is neither The Onion nor The Babylon Bee, because last week, the Board of Aldermen president, Megan Green, and you know, this makes me proud to be a St. Louisan when I see the head of the Board of Aldermen calling for exempting the homeless from city ordinances that prohibit public urination and defecation. You know, that just really makes me proud to be a St. Louisan. And I would say you could march in the streets in support of this proposition, but you might step in something, all right? Because if we're going to exempt the homeless from those ordinances, where's that going to lead us? Now, since she came out, others on the Board of Aldermen have come out against that proposal. But I guess first and foremost, should we be exempting the homeless from ordinances for public urination and defecation in the streets? Or is that like this? There was a concept that came out in the 70s. It was a philosophy or philosophical framework talking about crime. And it was something called the broken windows. And what broken windows is essentially this. It's a concept that's very simple in nature. That when police don't enforce broken windows, if someone's got a busted window in their home or apartment building or a condo, you got to fix it. Because if you have a collection of broken windows, it makes everything look kind of shabby. And then you start to have more car break-ins. And then you start to have more cars being stolen. And then from there, it just progresses into more and more criminal activity. It's the broken windows theory. So the idea is that you enforce the minor crimes, that you are adamant about policing the small things so that the small things don't develop into bigger things. But now if we have the Board of Aldermen president who thinks that it's okay to urinate in the street, that people shouldn't be penalized for that, or people shouldn't be penalized for public defecation. Think about how that fits in with the broken windows idea of law enforcement. I mean, it takes it to a whole new level, right? If it's okay to do that here, then why can't I bust into this car and steal what they have? If it's okay for me to do these bodily function activities in broad daylight on the street, then why don't I just bust in the window and steal something from that store? I mean, it's the next logical step, just like the broken windows theory. And yet that's something that's not being proposed by some extremist group. This is the president of the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis. Now, thankfully, she's in the minority here. And I'm not talking about race, I'm talking about political ideology. She's in the minority on this position, and I don't think she's going to get a lot of support from, because let's face it, they're all Democrats, right? They're not going to get any support from the other Democrats that are on the Board of Aldermen. And I'm glad of that. But in addition, though, to exempting the homeless from these types of city ordinances, Board of Aldermen President Megan Green also wants to exempt the homeless from ordinances like panhandling or loitering or these other types of laws. Now, if you remember, there was a homeless encampment that was on the grounds of City Hall for weeks. And do you remember why that got moved? It wasn't out of some sense of we want to clean up the city. It wasn't out of some altruistic idea that says, you know, homeless people shouldn't be living in tents on the City Hall grounds. Let's move them into housing that's more respectable, that honors someone for being a person and doesn't punish them for being down and out financially. No, it wasn't out of any of those reasons. It was because Kamala Harris was coming to town and folks didn't want to, particularly the mayor, didn't want to be embarrassed to have a homeless encampment around City Hall. So to me, what would it mean if it was okay if Kamala Harris, if Vice President Kamala Harris is here and people are doing their business right there on the street, right in front of City Hall. Talk about ideas that would be bad for the image of the city of St. Louis. I mean, do we want that going on when there's next year when we're in the playoffs and we're competing for the World Series? Do we want that going on in downtown St. Louis? Of course we don't. Of course we don't. And so this falls into this whole idea of, is democracy really working? Now, again, my perspective is, just to make it clear, I always like to raise questions, but I want to make sure you understand, I'm coming from the perspective that democracy isn't the problem. Democracy is the solution. Because if you look at voting in the few seconds we have left here, voting in this country has never been lower. Voting participation has never been lower. So to me, the problem isn't too much democracy. It's not enough democracy. We don't vote. We don't get involved. We don't understand the issues. We're too busy at our jobs and playing Xbox or whatever it is. More democracy, to me, is the solution. It would be the solution for a lot of the ills in the city of St. Louis. Fighting crime, getting rid of homelessness, attracting businesses. Those ideas could all be improved with greater participation in democracy. We talk about big ideas here on Answer Service. And after this break, we're going to talk about some other big ideas, but especially yours. 314-436-7900 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.